Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, 804, coming to you live in the Built for Tubbs Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Final week unofficially of summer. We know summer goes to the end of September, but this is the week that everybody is out except for myself, and you got Al, Eddie, and Boomer and Geo back next week. All right, we've got the NFL season starting next Thursday. We've got a lot of anticipation with the Jets here in New York, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers and everything that they've put into this season. The Giants are an interesting one, and we'll talk about the NFC East with Steve Berline coming up at 9:20. But I thought fun just to kind of take a look at what is ahead and to get your take on, obviously, you live in the AFC East world. You do the Jet postgame stuff on SNY. If I asked you right now, because I have seen everything from the quote-unquote experts that have the Jets as the best team in the AFC East to third in the AFC East. No one's picked them fourth, but it's basically a race between
1, 2, 3.
The Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills. My take is I don't think, while I think the Dolphins are a good team, I don't think they're winning the division. And I can't see the Bills, even though they got a good coach and a great quarterback, they had a lot of losses in terms of players and injuries with, the linebacker, Milano got injured.
Was huge, man, because he's pretty much the quarterback of that defense.
Yes.
And his range at that position is probably the best in next to Fred Warner, to be honest, for the San Francisco 49ers. I think he matches up there as far as that elite style linebacker. I think what happens with the Bill going forward is there's always going to be that situation where, you know, the offense went through James Cook last year, and it was great. They had that switch, and they were able to kind of really get it going. James Cook is no longer a secret. People know that the offense is going through him. It slows Josh Allen down, and he plays better with James Cook. With that said, what does year two look like that? Well, how can they replicate that is my point. So that's going to be interesting. And how does the defense recover, you know, with losing a Milano? And what does Von Miller look like? So there's a lot of questions, but I think the Bills, I could see the Bills finishing second in the division. And would your
pick be the Jets before the season begins, or are you in love with the Dolphins like others are?
The Jets were 7-10 last year.
Yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers, a healthy Aaron Rodgers in lineup, I see them as an 11-6 team. I do.
Okay.
Because of the defense. I just want the Jets to start off fast. I don't want to have this, you know, and it's like, well, Willie, you're dealing with a 42-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. God forbid if they start off slow. Yeah, but we've seen what that looked like, right? Like, and I just want the Jets to start off fast, look competent, and look more efficient on both sides of the ball, because I think that will win back the Jets fans. I think last year was just such the worst case scenario. And by the way, Zach Wilson won that game. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything else for the rest of the season, but he won that game against Buffalo on Monday night. So I think the Jets, I just want to see the Jets fan happy, and hopefully that can happen as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy.
I absolutely could see them not winning in San Francisco and then turning it on, because, their schedule.
But it also depends how they look, Jerry.
I agree. You got to play well.
I think optics matter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If they lost a game in San Francisco, you know, 24-21 on a last-second field goal, and it was one of those really tough, gritty games, so be it. Then you come back and you reel off 5-6 in a row. That's what I expect out of this team.
But see, this is what scares me. You lose Niners. Titans are a scrappy, decent team with Will Levis, and now they've revamped that whole roster. So they won't be a lay-down team like most people anticipate.
I don't anticipate them to be a lay-down team. What I do anticipate is the Jets to be one of the top teams in the AFC and to go beat everybody that they're better than. And
sure.
They are better than the Titans, and they should win that game. I'm not saying they will. You're right. The Titans will be scrappy. But if the Jets are what I think they are going to be, then they win those games, and they don't get in their way, and they roll over teams they should win. And I think part of that is the quarterback, and part of that, when you mention 7-10, and you say 11-6, I say, that sounds fabulous.
Right.
I think Aaron Rodgers has to be worth more than four games. I think they're a 13-win team.
Okay.
People think I'm nuts, but that's what I see. You've got a Hall of Fame quarterback now with that defense. Go be it.
This is what the only pushback, and I'm just talking about. So in Pittsburgh, we had a somewhat of a formula. you only lose one game a month, right? Mm-hmm. And so that leaves you at 12-4 roughly, sure, right? Sure. And so with that said, I'm looking at those first 2 weeks. The Jets could be 0-2. And it's hypothetical because they may lose against the Niners. Who knows, right? If Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a tough outfit, especially being on the road.
Sure.
And then the Titans, I think, are motivated because of the defense and what they've been able to acquire. Calvin Ridley is going to be damn good. Will Levis is already midseason. You know he has the moxie to be at the position. That offensive line still needs some help for the Titans, but you expect them to be better. I just expect them to be a better team than what people anticipate, and the Jets have to be on par. You know what I mean? So that's why I think the Niner game is probably the most important game, because that gives you momentum where you can kind of run. You can get going and get in the right direction. So,
understood.
Yeah.
I think they're the better team.
Okay.
That's what I lay, because I feel like I could make that case for a lot of teams. You know, a lot of times when the big bad Yankees come into town and they're playing a bad team, they get up for the Yankees. Why? Yep. Because it's the Yankees. I think teams will get up for the Jets because it's the hoopla of the Jets.
Yep.
And it's Aaron Rodgers. Wow. That having been said, though, I just think they're better than most. And you've got to, now they got to go out and do it. And they got to stay healthy. And those are a lot of ifs. But if those things do come to play, that I think the Jets should win a lot. I'll say this. If this isn't the type of year that the Jets aren't serious contenders, and I don't mean to sound like Joe here, then I don't think I'm ever going to see it. And not that I care to or don't care to.
I don't think you're wrong in that. The problem is that statement feels realer than them going to a Super Bowl. You know what
really?
I mean? Yeah, because it's we know we've seen the Jets. They haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years. Well, 13
I know that.
Years.
You know what that. I mean?
You're talking about a quarterback who's coming off Achilles at 42 years old. Hassan Reddick's not in the building, right? You're talking about Mike Williams, who's a part of this lineup, who's dealing with hamstring issues.
He was at practice yesterday.
He was at practice, right? And that's why you kept Jason Bromley on the team, right? And you're also looking at a defense right now who had to play out of their mind just to get to 7 wins.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate. All right, so
I'm just sitting here saying, I hear you. But the scars are still real. They're still a little fresh.
And they should be. But
on top of the office line issues, which is a whole other conversation.
Okay, fair enough. Put that aside for 1 second. Everything you just hit on, you had a Jet defense last year that kept them in games with... Won them games and kept them in games with some of the worst quarterback and offensive play we've seen
100%.
In decades. Okay. 100%. That was without Hassan Reddick. Now, I do agree at some point Hassan Reddick will be there. He'll make them better. If he's not, that is still a top 5 or 6 defense that is going to keep you in games.
I think you underestimate what old boy who just sent off to Philly. I think we underestimate his impact.
But fair. But I'm also looking
at... So if you don't have Hassan and we don't have him...
But I still have the Williams brothers. I still have Sauce Gardner. I've got pieces in place everywhere. Maybe it's not the most complete, but they should be good enough to still keep you in games. And now I added Aaron Rodgers.
But that defense is only relevant if you have a pass rush. That Rosales defense only kicks butt when that front four can get home. If that front four can get home, that's more stress on the secondary. That's now returning Chuck Clark at safety. Coming off an ACL, we lost Jordan Whitehead. Reed and Sauce Gardner at the outside. They're the best in the business. Dual combo.
Right.
Love them. Right? And now you're asking another Quincy Williams, who once again is no longer a secret. Right? They're going to be scheming him up differently this year. Because for last year, it was just like, all right, we'll see what the kid... He did a hell of a job.
Yep.
CJ Mosley's getting older. So, like, my point is, there's a window.
There is a window.
We're operating in a window now.
But I just think that they should still be good enough on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they're not going to go from a top 5 defense to 25th in the league.
No.
Let's say they're average.
No, I agree with you.
Offensively, this team should score and score a lot. Yeah, I mean, you're boasting, forget Mike Williams for a second.
Yes.
Just on the surface of Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Start there. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
So now but then it goes back to the question, who's the offense going through? Is the offense going through Aaron Rodgers where we're putting the ball in his hand and we're saying we're throwing the ball 30-something times? Or are we going to say with this new ramp offensive line, the ball's going through Breece Hall? Because that was one of his complaints last year.
Balance.
Okay.
That's what I think it should
be. People crave balance until balance doesn't work. And then it was like, all right, Aaron, we're paying you all this money. Well, be the guy.
That is very true. And if the run game stinks and you're going to end up throwing the ball 40 times a game, that might not be good either. I mean, we've seen that where quarterbacks throw way too much of 500 yards passing, they lose games. That is true.
Which is a possibility.
It is a possibility. I think this team has terrific balance across the board.
On paper.
Just think that, yes. Well, that's all I can go on until I see it.
So my thing is with the Jets having covered them, the one thing they haven't done well is adjust. When things don't go according to plan.
Except this year you have a coach on the field. And I know I'm putting a lot into Aaron Rodgers' plate. I know that. They didn't have that last year.
That's fair.
And if you're telling me that one of the biggest, from everything we've read and heard,
yes,
one of the biggest issues with them offensively last year was that a play call would come in, and you would know this better than me,
mm-hmm.
and Zach Wilson either wasn't allowed to change it or simply wasn't changing it. And apparently the relationship that, you know, Aaron Rodgers has with Nathaniel Hackett is, if a play call comes in, he looks at the guy cockeyed, not doing that. He knows what to run.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, that offense should be running so much more efficiently than it ever was.
That's the goal. I don't disagree. I mean, I'm never going to challenge Aaron Rodgers' IQ about football, especially while he's on the field to play. What my only pivot is, at some point, if Aaron Rodgers being a part of this system right now, right,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about Garrett Wilson, we talk about Conklin, we talk about all these pieces he has, if things don't look like they should look, especially week one against the Niners going into the Tennessee and the rest of the other teams, then we now have to say, all right, what's the adjustment? Because the one thing the Jets struggled with last year and maybe other years is once things didn't go according to plan, they got caught with their pants down. And there was never an adjustment in the field of play.
Yeah.
Or the next week after. We just kind of had to go along with what we had signed up for. That can't happen this year. Jets fans don't deserve that.
No.
There has to be an adjustment.
And that's where I think I'm putting a lot of faith in the quarterback, the Hall of Fame quarterback.
Fair. Yeah, I'm never going to argue that. It's Aaron Rodgers.
The one thing you did say that I kind of pushed to the side, which is 100% accurate, and this is more just me having faith in the room, is will the offensive line be good enough?
Have to be good.
I agree. And you've got veterans up there now. I don't know what you're going to get out of Tyron Smith. I know that guy battles his ass off as long as it's not a back injury. I know he'll fight through a lot of different things. I don't know what you get from him. You got the kid that you drafted. Elijah Vera Tucker says he feels great. So I don't
Marvin
know.
Marvin Moses is probably Elijah Vera Tucker is he's probably the most valuable because of his ability to play up and down the line. But Morgan Moses played with a torn pec last year with Baltimore. So we could talk about Tyron, but the big fella, who I love, we should have never let him go. But when he went to Baltimore, he put in work. But mm-hmm. he played through some injuries last year that we pray to God doesn't show this year. Now, I love Carter Warren, the big guy we got out of Pittsburgh. Max Mitchell, big fan of his. But we need, out of everybody, between Elijah Vera Tucker and Morgan Moses, they have to be rock solid.
Yeah. And if they are, you got something.
100%.
You got something. And if not, you might have a mess. But here's what I do know. I never thought I'd see the Red Sox win a World Series. I saw it multiple times over. I never thought I'd see the Cubs win a World Series. We finally saw that in a World Series. I never thought I would see Cubs and Indians at the time. I mean, how does that happen?
Right.
At some point, I do believe that I will see the Jets win the Super Bowl. And I just think that this might be the year.
We got 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years to
you
do
got
it.
2 years to
I
do
agree.
It.
I like this. I like thinking this year because, as you said, quarterback ain't getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
But he does take care of himself. You got a 2 year
and
window.
By the way, go Jordan Travis, he's on IR. They're still working him back.
Right.
And Tyrod, who knows? So
you don't know. Aaron Rodgers has to stay healthy. That's what we need.
Bottom line.
And if he does, we shall see. When we come back, CeeLo rejoins us, and then Steve Berline coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, 8:25. What is up? Looks like a nice, warm, hot day today. We've got CeeLo in, coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough Studio. Golfing today, CeeLo?
No.
You
CeeLo, you can golf?
You're doing it for me. When I can actually play.
He's actually
yeah.
very good.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, I would say one of
I
the better
Jerry,
players
Jerry
here.
Wouldn't BS about golf.
So. Nope.
No. I'm okay.
He's very good.
I'd say usually like in the 88 to 92 range.
But capable of much better.
Does that mean anything to you or no?
No, I haven't broken 100 yet.
All right.
You will. Keep at it.
Yeah.
You interested in the...
Sound like my wife there.
interested in the Creators Classic that is taking place today.
Yeah, what is that? What is saw that.
The PGA Tour, they did this last year, too, or maybe earlier this year. They're taking 16, basically, YouTube golfers or people with a golfing presence on social media.
Okay.
And they're putting them in a tournament that's today. And I think the winner gets to play in a real, not real, because this is a PGA event, too, although not a PGA Tour event. You'll then play in a PGA Tour event if you win. So Paige Spiranak is one of the 16.
Well, she can golf, though.
She was a college golfer, yeah. But she basically already has told people on social media she figures she will finish 16th.
Really?
I find that hard to believe, but then again, I don't know how much she's been playing serious golf over the last few years. I have no idea. But yeah, she was a college golfer. I forget where. The one guy who Gio always references, Fat Perez, is in the field.
Yeah, he's a monster golfer. I actually follow him just to watch
him. He's fun, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fat. He's big like me. And he can knock the dust off the ball.
He is fan. He's a great player. Yes, he's a really good player. So, like, you've got those guys.
There's a couple creators out there that I follow solely because of golf.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, the YouTube golf thing is, if you like golf, it's a blast to watch. In my house, it is basically my son has, Bob does sports with Fat Perez on it. Good golf, and then the Barstool guys that he likes. Foreplay golf, I think it's called. So, like, all of those that we do watch.
And they're doing that East Lake, right?
Is that where
the Tour Championship is this week? So, it's kind of cool.
Very neat.
I saw a video. Was it Shane Lowry was breaking it down? If you hit it in the fairway, you're good. If you don't, you're going to have no chance or something like that. I don't know.
I do believe
and
that.
There was also Scottie Scheffler's press conference where they asked him what his current handicap is when he plays at home in Texas.
Plus seven. Okay.
And they were like, do you play with guys that are like double-digit handicap? He goes, yeah, Friday or Saturday, you know, give him two strokes
that's
a hole.
That's interesting, yeah. Well, that's the cool thing. Like, you can go out there and play with those guys.
He goes, that's what's great about the game.
And on top of that, you can play faster than he does.
Yeah.
Because some of those guys are so meticulous, it takes forever to actually.
Yeah, I was always told anytime you play with a pro, just keep pace.
Yeah. Or just, I'm telling you, I would play faster than a pro.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's
absolutely.
Yeah, he has no pace. He doesn't waste any time.
You just address the ball and go.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't waste any time.
I play with a buddy. Shout out to my buddy Sam. My buddy Sam Patel. He in mid conversation, he'll be swinging at the ball.
I'm not that bad.
No, he doesn't think. He just gets up and hits. Let me think about why I'm hitting this.
So, I mean, at some point, it's just what you do. It's like breathing.
Tell Willie how long it took you to play 18 yesterday. And you walked, by the way.
3 hours and 4 minutes.
3 hours?
And they walked. No carts.
We walked, yeah.
Yeah. No, he don't mess around.
That's insane, Jerry.
That's
like speed golf.
What's the rush?
There is no rush.
Enjoy the scenery.
There was no rush. I promise you, we did not rush at all.
There's just no wasted time.
You don't want to check out a cardinal on a branch.
I don't want to check out what?
A cardinal. You don't want to just check the scenery out?
I'm not bird watching. No, not at all.
He tries to stay away from the trees these days. Right, Jerry?
I do. I don't know if you heard this. I hit myself in the face with a golf ball.
The first time we met, you mentioned the horror story.
I know. I just hate that it's dead horse.
Yeah.
It's part of your Hall of Fame that you smashed your own face in with a golf ball.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Keep talking about it over and over and over again.
I think you'll enjoy today's round, knowing where you're going to play.
I hope so. Hopefully not a lot of trees.
No, there's some trees.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll stay away from
you. You'll be
all
right.
You said you're playing with Joe, right?
I am playing with Joe today, okay. Yeah.
I love Joe, man.
Oh, Joe's in on this today, too?
Correct. What's the matter?
I couldn't go anyway.
Right, exactly. I mean, you sat in the dark for the last 2 days.
Yes, I did.
Why would you not have gone out and done that Monday or Tuesday?
Okay. Under normal circumstances, I would have. No, but so my wife and kids went down to my in-laws have a beach house for the week.
Yes.
So Sunday and Monday, outside of working here early mornings, I was on my own. And Jerry's like, why wouldn't you go play golf? And normally I would have, but I was so looking forward to just the peace and quiet of being at home.
Serenity.
And just, yes.
Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. Because we were in California
for 10 days.
I've been doing a lot of early mornings. We got my 8-year-olds playing youth football. I'm on the coaching staff. We got weeknight practices with a lot going on.
I got 2 little ones. I get it.
Yeah.
If I could make it a week, I would.
A week? Yeah, a week might be a long for. I think the 2 days was good. Had I had another one yesterday, I might have gone out, but we were back on the practice field, so I had to go home, take the nap, because practice is film review at 5:20. We did practice 6 to 8:30. Next thing you know, you get home, you have dinner, it's 10 o'clock.
Can't knock him for being committed.
No. I'm not. Not at all. But
My dad was busy, too. Like, I didn't want to go play by myself.
I can't sit around for 2 days in a row like that.
You can't sit around for 2 hours.
I agree. An hour is about
I'm
it.
I'm not knocking
maybe,
you.
Maybe 2 hours.
I respect
Are
that.
Are you that ornery? You just got to get up and do something.
He's a doer.
I just feel like I can watch TV for an hour or two. That's fine. Anything more than that, I feel like I am wasting time.
I agree. I can't watch a lot of TV.
It's just unproductive to me.
Yeah, I find myself doing, but I also find myself doing nothing. I just can't do what I was.
But you just said you'd sign up for a week.
Oh, I'm the best at wasting time. I can waste time with the best of them. I just told them, you know, build a Dorito nacho plate. All right, just start looking at sneakers online.
Akeisha, we got to talk.
Oh,
this guy's a mess.
We do not need to talk. She beats me up a little. She tears me up. So
holy cow,
I can waste time with the best.
I see that. Well, yeah. Maybe you guys can get together next time your wife's away.
I can be good at that as well.
All right, Chris, take it away.
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also sponsored by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Couple quickies with the baseball. Do want to get to some other stuff this hour? So good win for the Mets, and it was late last night to kick off their series in Arizona. 8-3 atop the Diamondbacks. You get 6 2/3 from Sean Manaea, who had a one hit shutout ball going through six innings. He struck out 11 in total. Three hit night for Brandon Nimmo, who compared Manaea's recent run to peak Jacob DeGrom, as we heard earlier in the show, but also complimented Manaea the human.
He's such an amazing guy as well, and such a great clubhouse guy. So it's twofold for me. I'm really happy for him as, you know, as the person that he is, and now figuring out as the competitor he is. He's taking it to a new level, and it's really fun to watch.
You could be talking about Boomer right there.
Yeah, I guess he could. That's a good point. That was Nimmo post-game on SNY. Pete Alonso also opened up the scoring in this one with his 28th homer of the season. And as Jerry alluded to last hour, really went all in on gushing about the Mets, his time here, and his teammates, and kind of goes on for a while with it.
This team's really special. It's just such a great group. And, this year's been a blast. I mean, it's just been an absolute blast. And, I have a really, really special, place for all the guys. All the guys in this clubhouse in my heart, and it's a really fun group. It's a really fun group.
So maybe starting to feel the clock ticking a little bit,
maybe,
potentially.
Yeah, Willie, what you said might be right. Maybe trying to sell himself back to the Mets.
Well, listen, winning's the ultimate deodorant.
It is.
And bottom line, we talked about earlier how this team started off. This team, what happened?
I swear I'd never heard that until
Boomer said that
recently.
A couple months ago. So winning is the deodorant
of champions.
It's the ultimate deodorant.
We made fun of him. And now you just used it.
Well, because that's said in the locker room repeatedly. Like, when a team is disarray, you know, the coaches are fussing and everything's kind of, the house starts to, you know, smell a little smoky.
Huh.
Win a couple games, it smells like roses again. Everybody's ha-ha, buddy-buddy, you're hanging out with each other. When losing starts to happen, then everybody's kind of like, you know, it gets the toxicity starts to pick up a little bit.
I hadn't heard that. I think we just had
a very clear line between pro athlete and NARP.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, we talked earlier about how this team started off bad. They were in La La Land during the month of April. Now they're winning. Pete Alonso's like, these are my brothers. I love them. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't saying that in April, right?
I don't think he was saying anything in April.
He wasn't saying anything. He's hiding. It's different.
Deodorant. Wow.
Now, I gave Boomer the accreditation of the quote in the calendar. Now I
for
feel
the
like.
The deodorant one?
Yes, I never heard that before.
Because he loves the pressures of privilege, which is the Billie Jean King, was, I think, the first.
Yes, which he's always referenced.
Yeah.
But now I'm finding out that this is a pro athlete thing.
Huh. Oh, 100%.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, it's too late.
Ask any guy when they start winning how you have open conversations with the lunch lady. Like, you start talking about, how's your kids today? All right, you feeling good? Looking good? You know, you get on that bike, you start losing, just give me the message.
Right. Leave me alone.
You leave me alone.
Understood.
Silent treatment. Did you have a favorite Rexism, or did you get a little of Bowles as well? Or
I had Bowles.
Yeah.
Man, Rex
something
is,
that you can actually say on the air.
Yeah, something he said about something he said about Bowles.
The first thing you came to mind is I can't say that. Yeah.
Last time he was in, which would have done Bowles a lot of favors with the fan base. I mean, he talked about like how tough a coach Todd Bowles was behind closed doors.
You have to believe that because of the success he's had, but he doesn't present it.
He never once presented himself that way or made you seem like he had control of the team with the way he would talk to the media. And maybe had he, because if you remember, you would remember this more than me.
I remember that, yep.
Todd Bowles going into that last year, the roster wasn't great and they didn't expect much out of the Jets. And I think everybody thought Todd Bowles was safe because it was going to be a bad year. It was a bad year. They fired him.
Yeah.
Even though there was no expectation. I always wonder, like, if he showed you more of that fire that you're saying he had in practice behind closed doors, maybe the perception of Todd Bowles would have been a lot different outside in.
Yeah, I think with Todd, it was interesting because I think it was the opposite. I think he always felt like he had to protect us from the media because it was such a, you know, like, too, yeah, we weren't a good team. It was just like, it was so much scrutiny that he was like, no, I got to stand in front of these guys. But when that door was closed, he held everybody. He was honest, man. He was tough.
And I would not have thought that.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a doormat by no means. Like, there was times where he, you know, excuse my French, he mother effed us as a group. And then it was times individually he would get called to the office. There's times where I've gotten called to the office. Mm. So just from a leadership standpoint, like, listen, man, this is what I need more of you from. This is what we need. I need you to kind of steer this way or give me some intel, like, you know, how the guys are. So he understood. He was very on. But Mike Tomlin is like this too. It's our business, right? It's not their business.
Yes.
And I think to your point, it hindered him because I think most Jet fans, when you're looking at the team you love, it's going through all this chaos. You need some type of transparency, and he never gave that. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, everything's fine here. Mind you, the whole house is on fire.
But the difference is Mike Tomlin, you feel like he is. And even if he's not, he stands at that podium, and he speaks authoritatively. He speaks directly, and you feel like he's in control. Todd Bowles would mumble through a press conference, and you felt like, this is the guy leading this team?
Yeah.
That was the public perception.
I could see how you saw that, but that was not behind closed doors.
Right, which is amazing. Yeah. Right? Who knew?
I got to ask, just because we're on the topic, and maybe you've addressed it publicly on the air, or you've said your piece or your feelings on it. What happened week 17 in Buffalo, the Fitzpatrick year?
Oh, man.
not to bring up a sore subject.
I think you just did.
I mean, that was the closest they've been for a while, and everything was, it was all set up for you.
We couldn't stop Sammy Watkins, bottom line.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Rex get back game, and he treated it as such, bottom line. There's a lot more, but I'm not trying to be on page six this morning.
So. Fair enough. I don't want to put you in a bad spot. All right, so the Mets win, but they don't gain any ground. Braves and Padres won again as well, so they're still three out of a wild card spot. You got Luis Severino on the mound tonight. It's another 9:40 first pitch. Rough night in D.C. for the Yankees. They lose to the Nationals 4-2. They were shut out through seven. Six of those delivered by Patrick Corbin, who entered the game with the worst ERA among qualified starting pitchers. He two-hit them through six. Yanks were 0-for-8 with runners scoring position. They made four errors. That's four straight games where they've made at least two. Aaron Judge does not have a logical explanation.
Yeah, it's baseball. I don't really look game to game. You know, I look at today's game. That's all what we can talk about. There's a couple miscues, a couple errors, but you know, you can't do that if you expect to win ball games.
Gerrit Cole took the loss. Five innings, a three-run ball, a couple of homers allowed. So you get the rubber game tonight. Carlos Rodon, Mackenzie Gore are the starters. We've got covered to 6:05 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Let me skip ahead here to a couple football things I wanted to get to. So Evan and Morash on the afternoon show yesterday, Jerry, had Scott Hansen on as a guest.
Talking, Red Zone Scott
channel.
Hansen.
Yes.
I love Scott.
And how sometimes in the late afternoon window, depending on the week, you really don't have enough games going on. Well, apparently that's going to change this season.
And I was told that the schedule makers particularly brought up NFL Red Zone this year and said, we cannot have any two-game late windows.
Mm. Evan with them. Mm. So I guess that got some traction because it was the first time he had revealed it at all this summer, and he added this.
The lowest number we'll have in the late window is three. Mm. And there are many games or many weeks that have four games or five games in the late window.
That's correct.
So they did us a solid there. Yeah. A two-game late window for Red Zone purposes is death.
I would love to know.
Death. I love that.
And understandably so. I would love to know what the ratings are for Red Zone for the 1 o'clock window and the 4 o'clock window, because the 4 o'clock window always has the big national game.
Yeah, right.
For someone like myself, I prefer to watch games and not watch snippets and highlights. So even like if I watch Red Zone at 1 o'clock, I'm usually watching the big game at 4:25. I actually usually don't go back to Red Zone. And I wonder what the drop, if there is a drop.
And he brought that up. There was the reason why they want that national game and that national audience for that, you know, that one standalone. But I guess they're trying to find the balancing act. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know players for the 4:15 game, that's kind of, we treat that, well, at least when I was, that's a all eyes on us type.
That's like a prime time game.
That's prime time. We addressed it and approached it like that. The 1 o'clock game is like, all right, let's get home before a mom's roast. But this is that 4:15 game was it. So,
couple other quick ones before I go. Shannon Sharp, Chad Johnson took Nightcap on the road this summer. I don't know if you knew that at all. They did some traveling shows.
I did not realize
that. I think this was from a recent show in Atlanta, maybe last week or earlier this week. So Sterling Sharp joined them as a guest, and Big Brother talked up Little Brother for his restraint with a certain now former partner of his.
I'm very proud of how he handled the Skip situation. He almost lost it. The Afro-American almost came out. I know you saw it when the glasses went on the table. Skip! I'm in the effing Hall of Fame!
And Sterling legit thought that there might be a chance they'd come to blows in that spot.
I said to myself, that is the end of the Sharps on TV. That's it. Because I knew what was going to come next. And I was like, Skip, I hope you can fight.
Thankfully, it didn't come to that. Obviously, that would have been pretty one-sided when you look at the way Shannon takes care of himself.
Maybe he skips a black belt in judo. Who knows?
I hope so. If you're going to get Shannon Sharpe. Yeah. Shannon Sharpe is a big man.
And he's like, still jacked at however old he is now.
I know Skip takes care of himself. I've seen the behind-the-scenes stuff where he works out a lot. But
treadmill work is different from punch and bag work.
You can't compare the two.
Oh, no. We were having the conversation.
No, we were talking about that earlier. But listen, but that's Skip. You know, I watched something recently where Chris Carter said that, I guess there was an interaction he had where he threatened to punch Skip.
Behind closed doors at ESPN.
Yeah, that's kind of, Skip can get guys there. Very few can, but he can get guys there on that.
Push your buttons.
You know, he's there. But Shannon, at the time, Shannon and him had a great dynamic. I think they over exceeded a lot of people's expectations. And so I love Shannon Sharpe. It's just unfortunate how things kind of transpired.
Is that it?
There's my awkward silence.
All right, no, I thought you had more. All right, very good. We'll see you. All good. 41. We'll see you next hour. Be a little different because Steve Berline at 9:20, so we'll hit you at 9:40.
That's true.
Okay.
All right, we'll streamline it. We'll cut off some of the fat, and we'll get to the hard hitting stuff.
Fair enough. You just used a you have plenty of time, I think. You hit a good word there. Exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
We'll get into that next because it's very relevant to the conversation we just had. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Coming to you live in the Built Ford Tub studio. It is the Boomer and Geo program. Guys, will be back next week. Before I get into this conversation about exceeding expectations really quick, you just showed me something. Is that real?
That's real.
So tell the audience what is coming out soon.
For all you McDonald's lovers, the McChicken Big Mac is coming out. It's coming out, excuse me.
Which is what exactly?
It's the Big Mac. Big Mac, I keep saying Big Mac. It's the Big Mac, however, without the beef patties, it's the chicken patties. So you have the same format, the three buns and the sauce and the pickles and the lettuce with the McChicken instead of the beef.
You seem excited about this.
I'm not excited.
Yeah, you kind of seemed excited.
But I'm curious. There's some curiosity brewing with me.
They also, I think, have this monster burger that's coming out as well.
I think you told it's called a McArcher?
Yes. That is it. That's exactly right.
Somebody was telling me about this the other day.
Which is enormous.
I'm not a McDonald's guy.
I like it. I mean, I don't really eat fast food all that often anymore, but I do like it. I mean, it's hard not to.
It's hard. If I had to choose a burger, it'd definitely be Five Guys. I'm a Five Guys guy.
See, I don't have one of those by me. I don't think so, no.
Love Five Guys.
And what about chicken places? Are you one of these Chick-fil-A nuts?
I am because, I eat it because of the kids. My kids are obsessed with Chick-fil-A. I'm more of a Wingstop guy. Wingstop, okay. Popeyes.
Popeyes is good.
Yeah, Popeyes. I mean, I have to eat it with my shirt off.
And I feel...
Did you not expect that answer? Why did you just look at me like
that? That's how you got to eat Popeyes, bro.
I got to eat Popeyes with my shirt off.
And Zoo agrees with you.
if anybody's walking through a public park and you just see me randomly knocking down a two-piece with my shirt off, please... Proceed with caution.
Yeah, just let the man live.
Just let me be great.
You know what gets
the shirt will come back on. I just need it off while I'm eating.
I get it. What gets no respect these days is KFC, which is still very good.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's. I think once they admit it or somehow it came out that it's not the chicken like from the farms. It's like some mountain chicken. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, look up mountain chicken.
It still is pretty good though.
It's not a chicken.
But do you really want to know what you're eating in a lot of cases? Honestly.
No, I mean, I've...
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we can do that, or we can just enjoy what we're having, which is probably better off.
Yeah, I like to pretend. I just realized I made a bad choice 2 minutes later.
Real quick, and then we'll get on to the other thing. Best non-main menu item at a fast food restaurant would be what? And to me, it's so simple. It's the baked potato with the cheese and the bacon at Wendy's. Not even
baked
a question.
Baked potato at Wendy's?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you agree with this?
I don't, but that's a hell of a call.
That's a
baked potato. I'm telling you, with the cheese and the bacon,
from Wendy's.
Oh, it's tremendous. It really is.
I was going to say the chicken rings from White Castle's.
That's
my guy.
Never had that either.
Look at the fat guy. I love him getting here.
You and Zoo.
The chicken rings from White Castle.
You guys are in lockstep. I don't know that I've ever gone to White Castle.
I love White Castle. White Castle's makes me happy.
Hey, okay, I mean, I'm sure it's fantastic. College maybe is the last time I had it.
White Castle.
But again, I don't have a White Castle where I live. I don't.
Where do you live that nothing exists?
Poland. I know. I'm not saying there are or there aren't. I don't know of one.
Well,
I got Wendy's bias. I got Burger King, McDonald's. I got Popeyes. You know, Chick-fil-A. I got all of them.
Yeah. So you got the essentials, but White Castle's just it warms a New Yorker's spirit.
Like, they got that
chicken rings.
Oh, they got that right on the bar strip over by my house growing up. Oh, it was great when I was in college and in early 20s. Woo!
Talk to him, big fella.
Hey, you too.
Let me get a couple big fella. Cheeseburgers.
Have you ever slapped down a Crave case?
No. No, I don't think. I remember them being brought in, but no, I don't. No.
Yeah, you get a 30-piece Crave case, and it goes down to Koreatown. I mean, it's dancing in the streets type work.
30 of them?
Yeah,
I know they're small, but...
Yeah, Crave case, you get 30. I think you could add more. 30 should be enough, right? You don't want to die.
I hope so.
With a lot of sodium in that thing. But no, yeah, 30. Cheese, double bacon cheese. Oh, man. And the chocolate shake at White Castle slaps, too. It's ultra thick. It's a problem.
I've had the Sonic chocolate shake. Now, that is tremendous.
Yeah, you're just living without a compass. You need some direction, my friend.
I mean, you gave me two places that aren't near me.
Right, but I can't control your area code. I mean, you'd want to pick the house.
That is true.
So my point is, now that we've told
all right, hold on.
Me and the big fella have enlightened you. You now have to find a White Castle.
Is the White Castle chocolate shake, in your opinion, better than the Frosty at Wendy's? Because there's nothing better than that.
They're
different.
My fellow big
one.
Yeah, this is like
spoon, the other
that's like asking like, is it like Nestle Crunch or Hershey? Like they're just two different.
Okay, fair enough. All right, then the McDonald's shake.
I don't do McDonald's shakes because they never work. They never work in my neighborhood.
That's what I was about to say. The machines never work. I never tried a McDonald's shake. They don't exist.
That is problematic sometimes. That is true. But
except
when they do work, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah,
they are pretty damn good.
For some reason, the Sprite at McDonald's could like start a car. It's the carbonation is like, I feel like I burnt up last year's Thanksgiving.
I've never had that experience.
I've read the
Coke machines now where they make it, you can pick anything you want. There's like 9,000 different
selections.
That's gross
because the filters on those get all the different tastes.
Dude, you're going to tell me that's gross, but fast food isn't?
I always get grossed out when I see the one person that goes...
Yeah, but they're not putting it back in the barrel for other people to drink it.
Yeah,
it's the cup. Who
cares?
They're
burping it, tasting it, giving it back. The lips have been on the cup. And I'm like, listen, I don't wear socks, all right? Like, I'm not the most hygienic guy. I try to keep it right in the neutral between caveman and awesome man, all right? So I'm not trying to sound like that guy.
Yeah, that bothers you. Brian in Mountainside, what's up, Brian?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
How you doing? Love the show.
Cool.
I just wanted to support the chicken rings as a side, the best possible side at any fast food. It's by far.
Is there a round of applause button? I don't have it up here, but I would give them one.
Wow.
Chicken rings.
I'm not aware of these chicken rings.
Now you got to go to pursuit
for
them.
Jerry, you got to try it. You got to go today.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go today, but I can certainly make that. I can make a trip at some point.
You just got to get to the White Castle. Period.
I have to find one near me first, yes,
yeah.
And then I could do that. I'm still going the baked potato at Wendy's.
This is such a senior citizen move.
Why?
I've never heard anybody call out a baked potato at a fast food spot.
When I was, forget old guy, when I was in my teens, I would get a baked potato at Wendy's with the cheese and the bacon, the Frosty, and then, believe it or not, a lot of potato, the fries. And I would dip the fries in the Frosty.
So you're telling me you got a Frosty, a baked potato, and an extra fry?
Yeah. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
I mean,
and the burgers are good too, but I would get the fries with the baked potato, cheese, and bacon, and then I would dip the fries in the Frosty.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even have to respond to that.
Well, what's wrong with that?
The constipation level, I can't even imagine.
No issues. No, why would you say that? I mean, there's
all
bacon.
That starch.
Well, it's not the only meal of the day.
And then you're going to add some dairy to it?
I did, yes. And that's how you have to eat it. Or you could put chili on it.
Yeah.
You could put cheese and chili. That was crazy, too.
Wow. Most, yeah. I mean, you just...
Really good. Wow. You would love it.
That's such an extreme move. I've never found out one teenager that shows up to a fast food spot and be like, give me the baked potato.
I used to love it.
Like, did your dad leave? What happened?
No, not at all. And there would be sometimes I would get
the
small
cheese. Is
there
trouble at home? If we're buds in high school.
Yes.
And we go to a fast food spot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, give me the number three. Give me the baconator with the fries and the whatever. And you'd be like, no, I just need a baked potato and a frosty. I'm like, all right, dude. Did your parents get divorced? All right?
No, they didn't.
Did dad not come back home? All right?
No.
Did mom put you on punishment? Did she throw away your PlayStation?
Nope.
That screams trouble at home.
There's no trouble.
Ordering a baked potato as a teenager screams trouble at home.
So good,
big fella, am I wrong in that?
Come on.
I mean, bro, you order a baked potato with me when I was like 13. I mean, I would be looking at you and I'll probably be the last
time. I'm going to call the guidance counselor.
But with the cheese and the chili, I'm not getting a baked potato and putting margarine on it.
How much chili are they throwing on that guy?
A ton. I'm telling you, you get it in a bowl.
Oh, you got the chili and the baked potato. That's different.
You could put the cheese and the bacon on it, or you could do the cheese and the chili, and that's a meal. That was so good. And then you get the fries and you dip it in the frosty
Well, the fries and the frosty that's all time.
It's awesome.
Yeah. You know when you're in high school, that commercial used to come on and say, danger? Like, if you ever think somebody's in trouble, call this hotline.
How am I in trouble?
I would call a hotline for you. I'm like, listen, my best bud, Jerry, of a golfer, by the way, just ordered a baked potato at 3 o'clock in the afternoon after school. Screams help.
If you told me that I went to Wendy's as a teenager and got a grilled chicken sandwich, threw away the bun, got a fork and a knife, and was I get it. This baked potato is phenomenal.
Joe
in Staten Island, he wants to compliment you.
Seems aggressive.
I got to say something. I've listened to the fan a long time. Craig's probably my all-time favorite. Jerry, you're not too far behind. Willie Colon, you need a spot on the fan, dude. You with just a crazy-faced comment. I just love everybody. Fire Evan today.
No.
Joe to this afternoon. Willie Colon, whoever's running the fan, I don't know who does it anymore. Hire this guy full time.
Thank you.
All right,
Thank you.
We're not firing Evan, though, but yes, we'll take that under consideration, I'm sure.
As long as I can do it with Jerry, because he allows me to go off the rails like this, which just helps. And the fact that I got another biggin that can agree with me warms my heart.
I got you, bro, always.
By the way, have you seen our hats? They both look like, you know.
Very similar, yeah.
They're like yarmulkes with a brim. We got these big heads.
He's got the Met one going. Yeah, you got the Yankee one going.
That's my big
It's the mark of the big body.
There you go.
Zoo, I thought we were friends.
We are friends. But, Jerry, come on.
Nah, listen.
The baked potato as a teenager?
I'll tell you what.
It sounds so aggressive.
Have you ever had it?
Yes.
With the cheese and the chili?
With my mom after church.
My mom did love
Thank you.
Those.
My mom was like, I'm not cooking, so let's have a Sunday meal. Let's order the baked potato. Not on a Wednesday.
I am older than you, but I'm not that much older than you. And I think you're minimizing how good the baked potato is. That's all.
You ordered a baked potato as a teenager. You lost your dog.
And I love all of it. The double cheeseburger, all of it. But that is. And remember what I said.
Are they? Okay.
Off main menu items.
I understand that. Are there not meals in your mind, if somebody orders them next to you, there's trouble at home?
No, I never thought that once until you mentioned it before. I don't.